and face my fire. A ball of lightning hurled out of the sky, blazing like a comet on its violent arc. An instant before it crashed into the land, she saw the black wolf curl itself back into the fog. Coward! She called out, riding wildly on the whip of her own power.
Mia?
Sam's voice was rock steady.
Can you turn it back?
I just did.
No, baby. The wave.
Ah. She studied the wall of water, a full 20 feet high now and sweeping closer while the jaws of wind snapped vicious teeth. She held out her arms, targeted her energy down them like sighting down the barrel of a gun, then flung it outward. The wave collapsed into a shower of silver drops. The cool rain of them washed to shore over her hair and skin as she twisted her fisted hand and gathered back the spinning wind. The night was once more clear as glass, the breeze playful as a fairy. She threw back her head, gulping in air while the heat of power streamed through her blood.
Well, yes, that gave him a taste, didn't it?
Sam was still gripping her shoulder as he had been since she'd stepped out from behind him.
How long have you been doing that spell?
Actually, that was the first time I put it all together. I have to say,
she blew out a laughing breath.
It was better than sex.
Hearing the shouts and running feet from above on the bluff, she turned to reassure her friends.
Are you sure you're all right?
Mia grabbed one of Nell's stroking hands.
I'm fine.
Well, I could use a drink.
Ripley popped open a beer, turned to Mia.
You?
No, thanks.
She already felt wonderfully, gloriously drunk.
Some lemonade for the little mother?
Ripley poured a glass.
Sit down or something, Nell. You're making me twitchy.
I think we should go down and see what they're doing.
Oh, let them play with their toys.
Restless, Ripley paced the deck. Mac and the other men had hauled equipment down to the beach. Even now she could hear the beeps and mechanical squeals.
That was a pretty big spell there, Glinda. How did it feel?
Mia's lips curved, slow and smug.
Figured, even linking last minute and adding a push, I got a nice rush. Always leaves me wanting more, though.
Zack's going to get very lucky later.
Nell laughed, then immediately stopped herself.
How can we stand around here laughing about sex? That was terrifying, Mia. We couldn't get down to you. Your wind came up like a tornado.
A nice summer breeze wouldn't have done it. And you did get to me. I felt you.
With her hands braced on the rail, she leaned out, her face lifted to the sky.
It was like 1,000 hearts beating inside me, 1,000 voices in my head, and every cell, every muscle, every drop of blood was so alive. When it looked at me,
she whirled back.
When it looked at me, it was afraid.
Maybe it's finished.
Mia shook her head.
No, not yet.
Whether it's done or not, I've got to say one thing.
Ripley tipped back her beer.
I didn't know you had that much, and I've known you all your life. And seeing what I saw tonight, I've got a better handle on why you've always been so picky and careful. That's a lot of firepower to cart around.
Is that a compliment?
It's an observation, with a warning tagged on. Wait for us next time, okay?
She gathered up 3 more beers.
Playtime's over. Let's go see what Mac and his pals have come up with.
On the beach, Mac had sensors and monitors scattered, cables strewn everywhere. He sat on the ground, hammering away at the keyboard of his laptop. Hauling the equipment down, carting it to where Mac wanted it, had helped. But Sam needed to do something physical and sweaty to take the edge off.
Look, this is all really cool stuff, but what the hell is it doing?
Measuring, triangulating, documenting.
Mac tapped more keys, squinted behind his glasses at a near monitor.
Wish I'd gotten to a damn camera. Best estimate on that wave's 20 feet, but that's just eyeballing it from up above.
20's conservative, Sam said mildly, and that's eyeballing it from down below.
Ah.
Mac peered at the readout on his thermometer.
Give me your best guess at ambient temperature at the center here during the climax of the event.
Sam shot a look at Zack, who just shrugged.
ambient temperature? Jesus, it got hot. But was it dry heat?
Zack asked and made Sam laugh.
Makes a difference. Max shoved up his glasses and frowned. The ambience around the negative energy flow dip. It gets cold. In trying to reconstruct and calculate the ion clash and the dominant direction of force, I need reasonable estimates of the ambience.
It got hot, Sam said again.
Damn it, I'm a witch, not a meteorologist.
Very funny.
Now take that sensor and get me a reading where her fireball hit.
Hey, wow!
As one of his machines began to hum like a beehive, he scrambled up, barely missed snagging his foot on a cable. He made a dash for it just as the women came down the beach steps.
Oh, should've known.
He nodded, crouched down to get a better look at the readings.
I'm going to take a look at the cave, Nell informed Mac. I want to help if I can.
He grunted, then crooked a finger at Mia. Amused at him, she strolled closer, then stopped when he held up a hand.
Whoa, baby, he said.
Look at this. Just look. It's phenomenal. Are you doing any internal spells? Do you have anything working, actively working, in another area?
Not at the moment. Why?
Your readings are spiking. They're all over the place and all way up the scale. You always have a high level, even at rest, but this is a big surge. Hold on. I want to measure your vital signs.
He took her blood pressure, her body temperature, her heart rate. He was studying the readout on her brain wave patterns when the rest of the group gathered around them.
How do you do it?
Mac's voice was quiet now and sober. Mia leaned toward him. Mimicking his tone, she pretended innocence.
Do what, Mac?
The level of energy pumping around inside you right now would have most people bouncing off the walls. But your vitals are well within normal range. You've been sitting here calm as ice for 10 minutes.
Exquisite control. Now, this has been a delightful and entertaining evening, but I really have to go.
She rose, one smooth movement of grace, and brushed the sand from her skirts.
I have a busy day tomorrow.
Why don't you stay here in the guest room?
You don't have to worry about me, Mac.
It's not finished.
No, it's not finished. But it's done for tonight.
16. She didn't sleep, nor had she expected to. Instead, she put the bubbling energy to good use. She worked on kitchen magic, put together some pocket charms. She polished furniture, scrubbed floors, then gave herself a manicure. At dawn, she was in the gardens, selecting and clipping the flowers she wanted for store decoration. When she arrived at Cafe Book at 8, her energy level showed no signs of waning. Nell, dependable as sunrise, arrived at 9, loaded with supplies.
You look incredible,
Nell said, as Mia helped her transport boxes and containers.
I feel incredible. It's going to be a good day. Mia,
Nell set the cake box on the refreshment table.
I trust you, but it's just not like you to be so casual about what happened last night. That level of magic, that scope, was like having a dragon by the tail, Mia finished. I take what happened very seriously. I have to ride this wave, little sister. Physically, I really don't have a choice. It doesn't mean I'm not aware or that I'm glib or that I don't know that what's coming is more potent yet.
I saw what you were able to call last night. I felt the edge of it whip through me, just the edge. And it was staggering.
A dragon by the tail, Nell thought. More like a herd of them.
Now you're setting up for a book signing, as if it's the most important thing you have to do.
Today it is.
She took one of Nell's apple fritters from a box.
Can't seem to get enough to eat.
It's a matter of routing the energy, which I imagine you did very skillfully with Zack last night.
She smiled a little as she bit into the pastry.
I've had a lot of practice finding ways other than sex to route mine. You could serve canapes off my kitchen floor this morning.
I thought you and Sam would leave together.
So did I.
Thoughtfully, Mia licked sugar from her finger.
Apparently he had other things to do.
After you left, Mac took readings from Sam. Sam didn't like it.
Zack had to insult him into it. You know the way men do.
questioning the size and stamina of his penis. Basically, and calling him Mary.
Ah, yes,
Mia chuckled and nibbled.
Always effective. Sam's readings were nearly as high as yours.
Still ravenous, Mia contemplated another fritter.
Really?
Mac's theory, or one of them, is that Sam was at ground zero and absorbed some of the energy flying around. Now, of course, he wants to wait a few days and then get readings from Sam for comparison, his standard levels and so on.
Mia gave in, took the second pastry, and told herself she'd do an extra hour of yoga later.
Sam wouldn't care for that.
No, he didn't like it. But my impression is he's going to cooperate. Mac's very persuasive. And he used you.
Me?
Any data are essential. Every scrap of information goes into the hole and helps, don't get mad at this, protect you.
Mia brushed sugar from her fingertips, admired the slick coral polish on her nails.
Did I give anyone the impression last night that I needed protection?
They're men,
Nell said simply, and restored Mia's good humor.
Can't live with them. Can't turn them into jackasses.
With preparations at Cafe Book well under control, Mia went down to meet the 10 o'clock ferry. She noted that Pete Steuben's dog had gotten off the leash again and was racing around the docks with the remains of some unfortunate and very dead fish hanging out of his mouth. She spotted Carl Macy's boat at the dock and imagined that he and his crew would be unloading a fresher, more appetizing catch. She toyed with wandering over and asking him to set aside some of it for her. There was little doubt that by the end of the day her appetite would be just as keen as it was now.
"Hi, Miss Devlin!"
Dennis Ripley skidded his bike to a halt inches in front of the open toes of Mia's Pradas.
"Hi, Mr. Ripley!"
The boy grinned, as he always did. Growing like a weed, Mia thought, and well into the gangly arms and awkward elbows stage. In a couple of years, she mused, he'd be zipping along in some second-hand car instead of on his bike, and the idea made her sigh.
"My mom's coming to your store today to see that writer lady."
"I'm glad to hear it."
"My Aunt Pat works at the hotel, and she says they've got a fancy room for her with a whirlpool tub and a TV set in the bathroom."
"Is that so?"
"She says writers make lots of money and live high on the hog."
"I imagine some do."
"Like Stephen King. His books are cool. Maybe I'll write a book and you can sell it in your store.
Then we'll both get rich."
She pulled down the bill of his ball cap and made him laugh.
"I'd rather play for the Red Sox, though. Gotta go."
He shot off, whistling for Pete's dog, who raced after him. Mia turned to watch them, and there stood Sam. Neither spoke for a moment, but the air seemed to snap. "Hi, Ms. Devlin."
"Hi, Mr. Logan."
"Excuse me a minute." He slid his arms around her, gripped the back of her dress in a fist, and crushed his mouth down on hers, and the air seemed to sizzle. "I didn't get around to doing that last night."
"Today works."
Her lips vibrated from the heat of him. She shifted away, a test of will with the energy bubbling inside her, and watched the ferry chug its way toward the dock.
"Ferry's on time."
"We need to talk about last night."
"Yes, we need to talk about a number of things, but not today."
"Tomorrow, then. We should both be a little less distracted."
"Is that a euphemism?"
Mia asked, amusing herself, and stepped forward as the ferry docked. A black sedan eased down the gangplank, steered to the side. Before the driver could walk around to open the door, a pretty blonde popped out of the back seat. She gave a laughing shout, then rushed forward and all but jumped into Sam's arms. The kiss was audible, an extended mmm, with a quick popping sound at the end.
"God, it's good to see you. How did you manage to get better looking? I can't believe I'm here on your island. Just thinking about it's gotten me through a week of book tour wars. Let's have another kiss."
"Oh, yes, let's," Mia thought dryly, as she watched the exchange. Caroline Trump was as attractive as her book jacket photo, a swing of sunny blonde hair curved around a pretty elfin face, warmed by honey brown eyes and dominated by a shapely pink mouth, a mouth that, Mia noted, was currently fused to Sam's. She had the young, perky build of a high school cheerleader, though her bio put her at 36. The bio had neglected to mention that she and Sam Logan had been lovers.
"Tell me everything you've been up to," Caroline demanded. "I can't wait to see your hotel. There has to be time for you to show me around this place."
"It's great.
The book signing will probably be a dud. God knows why they schedule in these little holes in the wall. So I can cut out early. We'll go to the beach."
"You still talk too much."
Sam eased her back, giving her shoulders a squeeze.
"Welcome to Three Sisters. Caroline, this is Mia Devlin, the owner of Cafe Book."
"Oops."
Caroline turned her cheerful smile on Mia.
"I do talk too much. Just run on and on. I didn't mean it about the signing."
She took Mia's hand, pumped.
"I'm just all wired up. Haven't seen Sexy here for over 6 months, and I've had about a gallon of coffee already this morning. I really appreciate you having me."
"It's our pleasure."
In a voice so smooth it made Sam wince, Mia drew her hand free of Caroline's grip.
"I hope the trip from the mainland was pleasant."
"It was great.
Then I'll just add my welcome to Sam's and let you go so you can settle in. If there's anything you need, you can reach me at Cafe Book."
"Sam," she said with a regal nod, and walked away.
"Ooh, ouch."
Caroline wrapped a fist against her forehead.
"I'm such a moron. Brilliant author-bookseller relations."
"Don't worry about it," Sam told her. He would. "Let's get you settled at the hotel. I think you're going to like your suite." An hour later, Sam braved the sting of hellfire and walked into Cafe Book. "Upstairs," Lulu called out as she busily rang up sales. "And she's on a tear." He found her, giving instructions to the part-time clerk at the auxiliary checkout counter. She didn't look like a woman on a tear, he thought, but like a coolly efficient business owner taking care of details. But then, Lulu knew her all too well. She moved away to replenish stock that customers had already taken from her area display.
"Is our VIP settling in?"
"Yes, she's changing. I'm going back shortly to take her to lunch."
"I hope our little signing doesn't interfere too much with the social aspects of your reunion."
"Can we take this somewhere a little more private?"
"I'm afraid not."
She turned, beaming a professional smile as a woman took another book off the display.
"Be sure to fill out the form for our prize drawings. We'll be pulling names throughout the event," she told the woman. "As you can see," she said to Sam, "I'm too busy dealing with my pesky event in my little hole in the wall to chat with you."
"She didn't mean to insult you, Mia."
"Not to my face, in any case. There's no need for you to explain your friend to me on any level."
"I was going to suggest you join us for lunch." He didn't flinch at the long, slow stare she aimed at him. Give her a chance to smooth over the awkward first impression.
"Not only would it take more than lunch to manage that, but I don't have the time or the inclination, and I certainly don't intend to be part of any little menage a trois, however civilized."
"Okay," he thought. "First things first." "Caroline and I haven't been involved in that way for a long time, and I don't appreciate having to explain something like that in the middle of the damn store." She nudged him aside so that she could speak to a group of tourists who were currently goggling.
"Good morning. I hope you'll be staying for our event this afternoon."
She picked up a book to show them.
"Miss Trump will be here to discuss and sign her latest."
By the time she finished her pitch and had the customers browsing the paperback display, he was gone.
"Dud my butt," Mia murmured.
"I'm going to be so charming, she's going to forget I ever had my foot in my mouth."
"Stop obsessing, Caroline."
"I can't," she poked at her Cobb salad. "And it'll hurt my feelings if you've forgotten that about me. Obsession is like breathing for me. I'm going to win her over before I'm finished, you'll see."
"Eat your lunch."
"I'm nervous. She made me nervous. God, Sam, I couldn't stop babbling."
"You always babble."
He nudged the coffee aside, nudged up her salad bowl.
"No, I chatter. Babbling's different. She's the one, isn't she?"
"The one what?"
"The one you were always hung up on."
With her head angled to the side, Caroline studied him.
I always knew there was the one, even when we were together.
Yes, she's the one. How's Mike doing?
Ah.
She wiggled her fingers so she could see the glint of her wedding ring. It was still new, and though it was the second she'd worn, she was determined that this one would stick.
He's great. He misses me when I'm on tour, which is good for my ego. I'm going to have to bring him back here for a vacation. It's wonderful, and,
she added, you changed the subject to distract me.
You don't want to talk about Mia Devlin.
You look wonderful, Caroline. Happy, successful. I really enjoyed your new book.
Okay, we won't talk about her. You're really not coming back to New York?
No, I'm not coming back.
Well,
she glanced around the dining room.
You've got a hell of a place here.
She studied the portrait of the three women, turned a questioning glance at Sam, but when he simply continued to eat, she tossed her napkin on the table.
I've got to get over there and make her love me, or I'm not going to be able to settle down.
I don't believe I've ever seen you settled down. But he rose, signaled to the waiter. You've got time for a little walk around the village.
No, let's just do it. I'll go over to sign stock now and look around later.
He led her through the lobby and out onto the sidewalk.
Terrific building, she said, scanning cafe book.
She squared her shoulders, sucked in a breath.
Okay, let's do it.
She's not going to claw you, Caroline. He waited for a break in the traffic, guided her across the street. She wants this event to be successful as much as you do.
Brother, you don't know females.
Caroline stepped inside, blinked.
Wow, what a place. Dream bookstore. And I'm everywhere. Jesus, Sam, it's packed. I can't believe I called this place rinky-dink.
You didn't. Your term was hole in the wall.
Right, right. Did I mention I was a moron?
Yes, I think you did. Lulu, this is Caroline Trump.
Glad to have you.
Lulu bagged up a sale, stuck out her hand. I've been ringing up your books like they were going out of style. I read the new one last week. It had a good punch.
Thanks. I love the store. She turned in a circle. I want to live here. Look at those candles. Sam, I need 10 minutes.
When she dashed off, he leaned back, watching fondly as she whipped through the aisles. It took 15 minutes, but he managed to head her upstairs.
Well, you made Lulu like you, he commented.
That was just a side benefit. Her stock is so smart, not just the selection of books, which is impressive, but the sidelines, too. Class all the way. And look at this!
She stopped at the top of the stairs, dazzled. The crowd was already thick. The cafe tables were packed, as were the rows of chairs. Over the hum of conversation, she heard Mia's smooth voice announce her name and the time of the event.
It's a wonder she didn't kick me out, Caroline murmured. There must be 100 people up here.
Since you're determined to feel lousy about it, I'll tell you she worked her butt off. Look, just pass on what you think to your publicist. Getting other authors to Cafe Book will go a long way toward prying your foot out of your mouth.
Consider it done. Okay, here she comes.
Caroline boosted up her smile and walked in Mia's direction.
You have the most incredible store, and I want to know if there's anything I can do to make up for being a jerk.
Don't give it another thought. Can I get you something to drink, a bite to eat? We're very proud of our cafe.
Got any hemlock?
Mia put a hand on her shoulder.
Oh, it could be arranged.
Why don't I settle for a Diet Coke and you can put me to work?
I have a number of pre-sales if you'd like to take care of them before the event. It will give you more beach time.
I'll show you into the stockroom, set you up. Pam,
Mia called to the woman waiting tables,
would you bring Ms. Trump a Diet Coke? We'll be in the stockroom. Sam, if you're staying, you might want to find a seat.
Just this way, Ms. Trump.
Caroline, please. I've done enough of these to know how much time and effort go into hosting a signing. I want to thank you.
We're thrilled to have you.
Caroline followed Mia into the stockroom. She'd also seen enough behind-the-scenes action in bookstores to recognize ruthless organization.
I've flapped the copies at the title page, Mia began. If that's not your preference, I'll change them.
Caroline moistened her lips.
These are all pre-sold?
Yes, 53 at last count. Those that require personalizing, I was told you'd personalize.
Sure, no problem.
They're labeled with Post-its. Your publicist indicated this is the brand of pen.
Just stop a second.
Caroline dumped her briefcase, sat down at a stool at the counter.
I've never sold over 100 new titles at a signing.
You're about to break your record.
I see that, just as I see you have the pen I like and that there were pink roses, my favorite, on the signing table.
Wait till you see the cake.
Cake?
Caroline seemed flabbergasted.
You have cake? You sent me bubble bath and candles and were at the ferry to meet me.
As I said, we're thrilled to have you.
Not finished yet. Your store, which is amazing, by the way, is full of people, and an unbelievable number of them are holding my books, and you hate me because I said something careless, rude, and stupid.
No, I was annoyed with you because you said something careless, rude, and stupid, but I don't hate you for it.
Mia moved to the door to take the soft drink from Pam.
And because I was once involved romantically with Sam.
Yes.
Her tone pleasant, Mia offered the drink.
Naturally, I hate you for that.
And that's fair.
Caroline sipped her soft drink.
But since Sam and I haven't been anything but friends for more than 4 years, and I'm happily married...
She wiggled the fingers of her left hand.
And since he's hung up on you, who happens to be beautiful, smart, younger than I am, and who has those really fabulous shoes, I get to hate you more.
Mia considered her for a moment.
That seems entirely reasonable.
She handed Caroline a pen.
I'll open these for you.
4 hours later, Mia was in her office tallying figures. When the publisher called on Monday for a follow-up on the event, she was going to knock their socks off. Nell came in, dropped into a chair, and patted the belly she was sure had started to round.
That was great. That was outstanding. That was exhausting.
I noticed that even with free refreshments, the cafe did a brisk business.
Tell me about it.
Nell yawned hugely.
Did you want to do totals?
We'll wait until closing for those. However, I do have the totals for the Trump books that sold during her appearance.
And they are?
New title, including pre-solds, 212. Paper backlist, also including pre-solds, 303.
No wonder she walked out of here looking shell-shocked. Congratulations, Mia. She was terrific, wasn't she? Funny and warm during the book discussion. I really liked her.
Yes.
Mia tapped a pen on the edge of her desk.
So did I. She used to be involved with Sam.
Oh.
Nell straightened in the chair.
Oh. After meeting her, it's easy to see why he was attracted. She's very clever, urban, energetic. I'm not jealous.
I didn't say a word.
I'm not jealous, Mia repeated. I just wish I hadn't liked her quite so much.
Why don't you come home with me? We'll sit around, talk about men, and eat hot fudge sundaes.
I've already gone way over my sugar intake for the day, which is probably why I'm still edgy. You go on. I've got to finish here. Then I'm going home to sleep for 12 hours.
If you change your mind, I have homemade fudge sauce.
Nell pushed herself to her feet.
You did an amazing job, Mia.
We did. We did a stupendous job.
She turned back to her keyboard and worked until 6. Sticking to practical tasks gave her mind the chance to circle and circle and consider, and it gave her the opportunity to admit that the buzz still vibrating through her wasn't going to quiet on its own. Given the alternatives to select from, she saw no reason not to choose the one that appealed most. Sam stripped down to cutoffs and considered the cartons of leftover takeout Chinese in his refrigerator. He was, as he had been all day, famished. He thought he might order in a pizza or a side of beef to top off the egg rolls and pork-fried rice. He was relieved that Caroline had turned down his invitation to dinner. As fond as he was of her, his brain just couldn't handle an evening of struggling to concentrate on conversation. Not after the day he'd put in. Or the night before it. He'd swum for an hour, hard, after he helped Zack haul all the equipment back to the house on the bluff. Then he'd swung by the hotel on the way home and let himself into the health club, He'd worked out another hour, doing what he could to burn off the edge. He'd done 50 laps in the hotel pool, taken a frigid shower, and hadn't slept all night. After the signing, he'd taken Caroline back to the hotel, where she'd claimed she was going to take a long bubble bath. He'd used the health club again, worked up a heavy sweat, showered, spent an hour swimming, and his system was still careening. He disliked sleep inducements, even of his own making, but he thought, after he ate, that that was the only solution left. The only practical solution, he corrected. The more satisfying one would be to find Mia, drag her off somewhere, rip off her clothes, and pump out the energy in wild, crazy sex, which would take him right back to square one of his plan to cement a bond with her outside of wild, crazy sex. He wasn't sure his overworked system could take either. He'd settle for pizza. He closed the refrigerator and turned toward the phone, and when he saw her at the back door, his entire body clenched like a fist. Served him right, he thought grimly, for trying to tame his raging hormones by tuning her out for a few hours. But his expression was as easy and pleasant as hers as he crossed to the door.
"Didn't expect to see you. I thought you'd be somewhere with your feet up and a drink in your hand.
I hope you don't mind me dropping by."
"Not at all."
He opened the screen door and willed himself to behave.
"I brought you a present."
She held out a box, prettily wrapped in dark blue foil and topped with an elaborate white bow.
"From the owner of Cafe Book to the owner of the Magic Inn."
She came in, making sure her body brushed his lightly as she passed, and she felt the quick tremor.
"A gift."
"To thank you for your part in making today happen. It was an enormous success for all involved."
Caroline was nearly staggering by the time she got to her room. It takes a lot to wear her out.
"I'm sure you'd know," Mia countered.
"She's married. We're friends, that's it."
"Touchy." She clucked her tongue. "Why don't you offer me a drink and have one yourself?"
"Fine."
He got out a bottle of wine, yanked out the stopper.
"I had a damn life the last decade, Mia. I assume you did, too."
"Naturally. Would you like me to parade some of my lovers for you?"
Helpfully, she took glasses out of the cupboard. The searing look he shot her pleased her enormously. He'd be easier and more fun to seduce if his temper was up.
"I don't want to hear about them, and I didn't parade Caroline."
"No, but you didn't tell me beforehand, either. It made it awkward and irritating. But I've decided to forgive you."
"Well, golly, thanks."
"Now you're annoyed. Why don't I pour that, and you can open your present. We'll see if it puts you in a better mood."
"Rapping your head against the wall might put me in a better mood."
"But you're much too civilized for that."
"Don't go to the bank on it."
But he pulled off the top of the box and pulled out a wind chime made of foolish brass frogs.
"I found it whimsical, which suits the cottage, and apt, as I had a lovely fantasy going about how I turned you into one of these for a few days."
She tapped a frog, sent it dancing and singing against its brothers, then picked up her wine.
"It's very unique. Whenever I see it, I'll think of you."
"There's a hook just outside the kitchen. Why don't you hang it, see how it looks there?"
Obliging her, he stepped outside, looped it over the empty hook.
"You smell of the sea,"
she told him, trailing a fingertip down the center of his bare back.
"I've been swimming."
"Did it help?"
"No."
"I could."
She leaned against him, nibbled at his shoulder.
"Why don't we help each other?"
"Because then it's all about sex."
"What's wrong with sex?"
She was clouding his senses. Woman's magic. He turned, gripped her arms.
"We used to have more. I want more again."
"We're both old enough to know we don't get everything we want, so we take what there is."
She spread her hands over his chest, felt surprise when he stepped back.
"You want me, I want you. Why complicate it?"
"It's always been complicated, Mia."
"So we simplify. I need a release from what happened last night. So do you."
"We need to talk about what happened last night."
"You're a real fan of talking lately."
She tossed back her hair.
"Nell has this notion that you're courting me."
A muscle jumped in his cheek.
"That's not a word I'd use, I'd say dating. I've been dating you.
In that case, she crossed her arms, slid the straps of her dress from her shoulders, and let it slither to the floor. We've dated long enough. 17. He'd have sworn the world stopped. For one rushing moment there was no sound, no movement. There was nothing but Mia, tall and curved and beautiful, all alabaster and fire. She wore only a slim silver chain that nestled a moonstone between her breasts and an anklet made up of tiny Celtic knots above shoes that were no more than a trio of narrow straps and stiletto heels. His mouth watered.
You want me.
Her voice was a low, feline purr. Your body aches as mine does. Your blood's as hot.
Wanting you has always been the easy part.
She stepped to him.
Then this should be a snap.
She ran her hands up his torso, over his chest.
You're trembling.
Easing closer, she rubbed her lips over his shoulder, over muscles that were tensed rock hard.
So am I.
His hands flexed, fisted.
This is your answer?
I don't need an answer when I don't have a question.
She lifted her head until their eyes met.
I have needs just as you do. Desires, hot and restless inside me, as you do. We can both take what we need and harm no one.
She leaned in, nipped sharply at his bottom lip.
Let's take a walk in the woods.
When he jerked her hard against him, her face lit with triumph. A quick, laughing moan escaped when he swung her into his arms. The moment of victory was hot and sweet.
Here, he said, in this house, in my bed.
Needs bubbling inside her clouded her mind only for an instant, but an instant was enough to have him striding through the kitchen before she struggled.
No, not here.
It can't be all your way.
I won't be with you here.
The minute she hit the bed, she rolled, but he pinned her.
Yes, you will.
She fought him. Pure instinct had her bucking under him, straining against his hold. She could smell the lavender she'd planted outside the window, and the sweetness of it tore at her heart. She hadn't come for sweetness nor for intimacy. She had come for sex. She gathered herself, reached for composure and derision.
All you've proved is that you have superior strength.
Yeah. That's the breaks,
he said. Her voice might have been cold, but the heat was pumping off her skin.
I'm not letting you go this time, Mia. Considering the mood we're both in, you fighting me is only going to make this better. So fight me.
He yanked her arms over her head.
I don't want it easy, and I don't want it fast.
He handcuffed her wrists and used his mouth on her. She continued to struggle because he was right. She could damn him for it, but he was right. The underlying threat of violence added a slippery thrill that fed the reckless need inside her. She could hate herself for wanting that, for the part of her that reveled in being overpowered, undone, taken. But she couldn't deny it. He ravished, his mouth assaulting her body. The little war had her skin springing with sweat and her senses tangling into one mass of molten pleasure. Her body twisted, arched, but he simply found new spots to torture and entice. The energy that burned inside her whipped to flashpoint, ripped a cry from her throat as he drove her to the first brutal climax with his mouth alone. And that quick, glorious release only fueled a hunger for more. He felt her body quake, heard her breath catch. Beneath his lips, her pulse beat like fury. Her flesh was damp and fragrant, erotically hot and slick. Knowing that she fought them both only added to the vicious passion surging through his blood. He rode it recklessly until they were both quivering. When his mouth conquered hers, the kiss was a kind of madness. There was no thought, no room for reason. In a war of lips and tongues and teeth, they fed on each other. When he felt her fly a second time, he released her hands to take more. They branded each other, rolling restlessly over the bed in a search for dominance and more pleasure. The air went thick, and the sun streaming through the windows turned to guilt. She rose over him. Craving her, he reared up, clamping his mouth over her breast, drawing her in like breath. She lost herself in the frenzy of sensation, gave herself to that feral need to take and be taken. Here there was only desperation,
and the one man who could make her feel it. The glory of those animal urges, the mindless wonder of being alive, raced inside her. Time quickened, then sprinted past her as the storm inside her broke yet again. Breathless, still spinning, she wrapped herself around him, holding on as if for her life. Her heart quaked and threatened to break open. She heard his harsh murmurs as his body slid over hers, as his lips skittered over her face, her throat. She shook her head, quick denial, as the Gaelic stroked her aching heart. Light, warm and blue, pulsed from him.
No, don't.
He couldn't stop. What they'd brought to each other sapped his control. The need to complete the intimacy was raw and open in him.
Agra, a Awin.
My love, my only. The words tumbled out of him without design. His power shimmered, seeking its mate, even as his body craved. But when he brushed his lips over her cheek, tasted tears, he squeezed his eyes shut.
I'm sorry.
His breath ragged. He buried his face in her hair.
Just a minute. Give me a minute.
He fought for control, to pull the magic back inside him. Whatever they were or had been to each other, he had no right to force her to share that part of herself. She felt him quiver as he struggled to pull it in. It would hurt him, she knew, a deep and physical aching that came from denying the blood and starving the soul. Still, he held her while he locked himself away, held her while she listened to him tear out against the pain of it. She couldn't bear it, for either of them. She lifted his head, looked into his eyes, and gave him her magic.
"Share with me,"
she said, drawing him down into the kiss.
"Share all."
Her light was gilded red against his deepening blue. The brilliant thrill flooded her, swamped her as their powers entwined and merged, streamed inside them both. She let herself fly on it, rose to him as he filled her. There was a rush like the wind, a stream of sound like 100 harp strings plucked at once. The air swelled. All she was and all he was laid open. The air shimmered, light against light, building to a radiant glow, even as he moved in her. Long, slow thrusts that savored the gift, he took her hands, linked fingers curled tight, and sparks swirled from them to dance in the air. As they climbed, the light brightened, building, building toward a flash that burst like lightning, and on that burst he met her mouth with his and flew with her. He nuzzled at the curve of her shoulder, rubbed his cheek to hers, whispering soft and foolish endearments. His power continued to whisper inside her as well. Her body felt unbearably soft, and though her heart continued to pound, she knew its beat was no longer for her alone.
What had she done?
She'd stripped aside, by her own will, the last of her defenses. She had given him all she was, taken all he was. She had let herself love him again.
Stupid, she thought.
Stupid, careless, and dangerous. Even knowing it, she could lie here with his weight pressing against her and want to gather him close and cling to the dreamy echoes of what they'd shared. She had to get away, clear her head of him, and consider what to do next. She lifted a hand to his shoulder, intending to nudge him away, but her fingers slid into his hair.
Mia.
His voice was thick and sleepy.
Alina. So soft, so lovely. Stay with me tonight. Wake with me tomorrow.
Her heart trembled, but when she spoke, her voice was brisk and even.
You're speaking Gaelic.
Hmm?
You're speaking in Gaelic.
Now she did give his shoulder a little nudge.
Which means you're about to fall asleep on top of me.
No, I'm not.
He braced himself on his elbows so he could gaze down at her.
You make my head spin.
He dropped a kiss on her forehead, then the tip of her nose.
I'm glad you dropped by.
It was hard to resist the easy affection.
So am I. But I have to go now.
Uh-uh.
Idly toying with her hair, he studied her face.
I'm afraid I can't allow that. And if you try, I'm going to have to get rough with you again. You know you liked it.
Please.
She pushed at him, tried to slither free.
You really liked it.
Leaning down, he lightly bit her shoulder,
Maybe, under this limited set of circumstances, I found it arousing. I needed an outlet for the excess energy that last night's spell worked up in me.
Tell me about it.
He caught her chin in his hand.
I mean that. I want you to tell me about it. But right now I'm starving. Aren't you starving? I've got leftover Chinese takeout.
Yummy, but...
Mia, we need to talk.
Talk isn't the usual activity when we're lying naked in bed and you're still inside me.
There is that.
He slid his hands under her hips, lifted them, slid deeper into her.
Tell me you'll stay.
Her breath caught. I'm not...
I want to watch you climb again.
He kneaded her hips, his thrust slow and steady.
Just let me watch you.
He left her no choice. He exploited her weakness, drained her will with a ruthless tenderness. He watched her surrender, to him, to herself, to the rise of sensation, and when she crested one long wave, it rippled through him, and he lifted her, wrapped her close.
Stay.
With a sigh, she rested her head on his shoulder. I could eat. They made quick work of the Chinese, then scavenged for more. By the time they were digging into a box of dry cereal, the edge was off. Sam took a last handful of puffed rice.
Strong magic and good sex. Nothing like it to sharpen the appetite.
I had 2 muffins, a sandwich, cake, and a bowl of rotini. And that was before the sex. Give me that. She took the box from him and dug in. It was a potent spell.
Now that we've very efficiently cleaned out my kitchen of all edible products, let's take that walk in the woods.
It's getting late, Sam.
Yeah, it is.
He took her hand,
and we both know it.
He glanced down at her bare feet.
Since I don't see how you can walk anywhere in those shoes you had on, maybe we should head to the beach instead of the woods. Easier on your feet.
I'm used to walking barefoot in the woods. It was best, she thought, to deal with it. As long as they were talking or eating or seducing each other, she wouldn't have to think about loving him or what she would do about it. You want me to explain the spell, and I'm not sure I can.
I don't want the nuts and bolts.
He drew her across the lawn toward the shadows in the path.
But I'd like to know, first, how long you've known you had that kind of power.
I'm not sure I did. Not exactly. Felt, she continued, as if there was a switch inside waiting for me to flip it.
It's not that simple.
No, it's not. She could smell the trees and the sea, and on such a night, she thought, you could smell the stars, a cool brush along the senses. I've worked on it, studied, practiced. I've gathered myself. You understand that?
I also understand that to pull that out the way you did the other night, without any real preparation, is beyond anything I've experienced.
I've been preparing all my life. And in the last decade, she thought, it's been my one and only love. Still, I couldn't finish it. It wasn't quite enough. Determination toughened her voice. But I will finish it.
That's where you and I have a problem. What you did was dangerous for you.
It didn't have to be. The risk was minimal.
If you'd told me what you could do, what you'd obviously planned to do, given the opportunity, I could have been prepared. I could have helped. But you don't want my help.
She said nothing as they passed the little stream where Foxglove nodded on the banks. It's been a long time since I considered having your help.
I've been back over 2 months, Mia.
And we're gone over 10 years. I learned to do a great deal without you in that length of time. Without anyone, she added, as Ripley cut herself off from me and what we've shared during the same period. I've taken what I was given and honed it, built it.
That's right, you have. I wonder if you would have, if I'd stayed.
She rounded on him, her temper quicker than it might have been as the same thought had come to her. Is that a new rationalization, a new reason for what you did?
No.
He met her fury with utter calm.
My reasons for leaving were completely selfish. It doesn't seem to change the results. You're stronger than you would have been.
Should I thank you for it?
She angled her head.
Maybe I should. Maybe it's time for me to acknowledge that your leaving was the best thing for both of us. I saw you as the beginning and end of my life and everything in between. But you weren't. I lived without you. And whether you stay or go, I'll continue to live, to work, to be. I can enjoy you now without illusions. It's a nice bonus to share myself with someone who understands power and who expects nothing in return but pleasure for pleasure.
It rubbed at his temper, as he supposed she'd intended it to. Don't thank me too soon. You wondered why I'd maneuvered you into dating. I needed to show you, and maybe prove to myself, that there's more than sex between us.
Of course there is.
Calm again, she began to walk.
There's magic, a shared history, and though I didn't initially believe it, a shared love of the island. We have mutual friends.
We were friends once.
We're friendly now.
She breathed in deeply.
How do people live without the sea close? How do they breathe?
Mia.
He touched the tips of her hair.
When we made love, I didn't intend to ask you to share magic with me. It wasn't calculated.
I know that. Though she stopped walking, she kept her back to him.
Why did you let me?
Because you would have stopped. It meant something to me that you would have stopped when I asked. And I suppose, because I've missed it, sharing power excites and fulfills.
Was there no one else in all these years?
You've no right to ask me that.
No, I don't. So instead, I'll tell you what you don't ask me. There was no one but you. Never anyone but you in that way.
It doesn't matter.
If it doesn't, he said, taking her arm before she could move away, then you should be able to listen. I never got over you. And if I was with another woman, it was never the way it was between us. Every one of them deserved better than I could give. I couldn't give them better because none of them were you.
There's no need for this, she began.
I need it. I've loved you all my life. No spell, no incantation, no act of will has ever been able to change that for me.
Her heart stumbled in her chest. It took all of her strength to balance it again. But you tried.
I tried. With women, with work, with travel. Not loving you is beyond my power.
Do you think, Sam, that even if it were only my own heart at risk, I could pour it into your hands again?
Then just take mine. I'm not doing anything else with it.
I can't. I don't know how much of what I feel is an echo of what was, how much, mixed with that, is anger. More, she said, turning back to him. I don't know how much of what you believe you feel is real. Everything's at stake now, and clouded emotions are dangerous.
My emotions aren't clouded. They were for a long time.
Now mine are, and I've learned to step back from them. I care about you. The link's too strong for that to be otherwise, but I don't want to be in love with you again, Sam, and that's my choice. If you can't accept that, then we need to stay away from each other.
I can accept that it's your choice. For now. But I'm going to do everything I can to change your mind.
She threw up her hands in frustration. By sending me flowers, going on picnics? Those are frills, trappings.
Those are romance.
I don't want romance.
Deal with it. I was too young and stupid to give it to you once. I'm older and smarter now. There was a time when it was hard for me to tell you I loved you. Didn't come naturally off my tongue, and it sure as hell wasn't a phrase that was bandied about in my house.
I don't want you to tell me.
You always said it first.
He saw the surprise on her face.
You never realized that, did you? I was never able to say it to you unless you'd said it. Times change. People change. Some people take longer than others. I realize I've been waiting, Mia, maneuvering again so you'd say it first. Easier for me that way. You used to make things too damn easy for me.
Fortunately, that's changed. Now I have to go. It's late.
Yeah, it's late. I love you, Mia. I love you. I don't mind saying it a few hundred times until you believe it.
It hurt to hear it, a quick, pinching pain. She used that pain to keep her heart cool and her voice even.
You gave me words before, Sam. We gave each other words. They weren't enough. I can't give you what you want.
She ran down the path, away from him.
Won't give me, he replied. Yet.
She didn't stop until she got to her car, didn't go into the house for her shoes or think about them. She thought only of driving away, driving fast until her mind settled again. She had let herself love him again, or rather, her heart had turned on her when she'd been vulnerable. But that was her problem, and one she would deal with. Rationally, reasonably, if loving him were the right choice, it wouldn't make her so unhappy. If hearing him say he loved her was the solution, how could it have been like a blow to the heart? She would not become a victim of her own emotions, not a second time. She wouldn't throw herself mindlessly into love, putting herself and everything that mattered to her at risk. Balance, she told herself, and clear thinking. They were essential when one was contemplating a life and death decision. Maybe it was time to take a few days off, regroup. She'd been spreading herself too thin, she decided. She needed to be with herself, alone.
What the hell do you mean she's gone?
Annoyed at being roused out of sleep before 8:30 on a Sunday, the only day that week she could sleep in, Ripley scowled at the phone.
She's off the island.
A pulse was pounding in Sam's throat, making speech almost painful.
Where did she go?
I don't know.
Christ, she sat up in bed, scrubbed her hand over her face. I'm not even awake. How do you know she went off island? Maybe she's just out for a walk or a drive. He knew, Sam thought, because he'd tuned in to her, and the snapping of the connection had awakened him. Next time, he thought grimly, he wouldn't limit the link to the island.
I just know. I was with her last night. She didn't say anything about plans on the mainland.
Well, she doesn't keep me as her social secretary. Did you have a fight or something?
No, we didn't have a fight.
What they'd had could never be boiled down to such an elemental word.
If you have any idea where she's gone.
I don't.
But the worry in his voice got through.
Listen, ask Lulu. Mia wouldn't go anywhere without letting her know. She probably just went over to do some shopping or something and...
Scowling. Ripley held the phone out and listened to the dial tone.
Well, goodbye to you two.
He didn't bother with the phone time, but jumped in his car and drove to Lulu's. He barely noticed that she'd changed the